crucified on a hill between two thieves, a conspiracy of the Pharisees. They ordered him nailed to a tree, but then he was carried to where he was buried. Oh, but by Sunday, round daybreak, well, it became clear they had reason to fear. They made a grave mistake. They made a grave mistake. Almost hear those victory bells ring, but they should have listened when Jesus insisted that he would arise as a king. But people today are trying to say that he's dead and our faith is in vain, but they better learn soon that there's an empty tomb. They made a grave mistake. They made a grave mistake. He came back alive. Well, he made a way in only 3 days, and death was the side of dawn. Will he prove them all wrong? The stone rolled away. Oh, praise his dear name. They made a grave mistake. At the first sight of dawn. They made a grave mistake. Grave mistake. They made a grave mistake.
Well, that's good. Appreciate our brothers taking care of us today. You know, you got to be ready around here at the drop of a hat. You may be called on to do something you've never thought about before. Just do it. Yeah. Don't even think about it, because if you think about it, you won't do it. So if we ask you to do something, just do it. But we are so blessed, aren't we, just to have so many people that are willing to step up and do whatever it is that God's got on the table and just participate and fill a void, fill a gap, and we praise God for that. You know, this is the first time I've ever preached on a cruise ship. Amen. I've never had the opportunity before, but I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope I don't let you down. I'm excited to be here on the, we don't even have a name for the boat yet. We're still debating on what to call it. I voted for the Rust Bucket, but I don't know if that's going to make the top 10, but we're figuring out what to call it. But listen, you got to come and be with us this week for Bible school. It is going to be so much fun. Bring your kids, bring your neighbor's kids, just go down the road and pick up kids. Ask permission first, but get them in here and let them participate in Bible school. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got some skits lined up for you, and the rotation of all the things that we do music, games, Bible time, crafts, supper. It's all going to be good, and it's just, it's a lot of fun. And I know when we get to the end of it, we're tired, but it's a good tired because we've had a great week. And we're praying for souls to be saved, praying for kids to get saved. You know, we're not just praying for kids to get saved. We're praying for moms and dads to get saved. There have been times when we've had parents that have come in to watch the commencement or be a part of maybe when we do Camp Cove to pick up kids. We've seen parents get saved before. It's not just about the kids. It's anybody that comes through those doors and we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. We're praying that they get saved. So let that be your prayer this week. Speaking of Bible school and the theme being Cruise with Jesus, wherever it is, where's it right here? Cruise with Jesus. That's the topic of our message today. Theme verse is from Joshua 1, verse number 9. But stand with me. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 of the book of Joshua today. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, we're thankful as we begin this cruise, as we begin this journey this week, we're reminded of the fact that you are always with us. We're thankful for your presence, God. Even though times we may not feel you, we may not emotionally be attached to the fact that you're really here, but your word declares to us, you are here, you're with us. We're in this age of grace. We're in this moment and this time that we know the presence of your Spirit is real and you're here to deal with our hearts, to convict us of our lost condition. Those that are saved, you're here to encourage us and strengthen us, God, to continue to walk with you and to trust in you in all things. We thank you for this passage and Joshua and this amazing story that and his life that he experienced. And God, we pray for you to bless this week as we share and we reflect on things that even he faced and we face each day in our walk with you. Forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of my unrighteousness. May you be glorified through the remainder of this service, remainder of this message. We pray all these things in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. I got to back looking at some of my notes, and I think I probably preached out of Joshua chapter 1 probably more than any other passage of Scripture that I preach. I've got stuff everywhere, and I've got, you know, all kind of random thoughts and random notes. So there's so many places and ways that you can go when you get in Joshua. And one reason I actually selected Joshua 1:9 for kind of our theme verse as we think about Bible school, because if we're going to go on a cruise, what's the most important thing we need to remember? We need to be strong and of good courage and remember that God said, I'm going to be with you, that you're not going to be alone, that I'm going to go with you everywhere you go. So I can be strong and courageous in the fact of knowing Christ is going with me. So what I wanted to do today is preparing us for our voyage to depart tonight about 6:30 as we board the cruise ship and we get heading out. I wanted to think about that being our life and our journey and our walk with Christ. So the first thing that's got to happen is we've got to get on board the vessel, right? We got to get on board the cruise ship. If I plan to experience all that's going to be on there, then I've got to get on board. I've got to be invited. I've got to be called. I've got to be brought into the ship. So we look at those first couple of verses again real quick. He said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant's dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I will give them, even to the children of Israel. And I'm adding Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to this passage. Listen to what it says. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and do what? Follow me. He's saying we've got to follow Jesus. We've got to plug into where Christ is. We've got to be invited. We've got to be called. We've got to participate and be a part of what God's doing. If I want to be a part of the journey on the cruise, if I want to experience great things with Christ, then the first thing that's got to happen to me, I got to be a part of his family. I got to be saved. I literally feel like I'm on a cruise ship and I'm looking over the rail. This is so cool. This is amazing. Can we keep this? I feel like I'm on a, top upper deck, and I'm looking down. You guys are all swimming in the sea, but this is cool. But we got to think about our relationship with Christ. What happens first before we can experience any blessings, go through any callings to service? It all starts with the greatest decision of all, salvation, doesn't it?
Yeah, amen.
Now take just a minute and think back. Those of you here that are saved, take just a minute and go back and revisit that moment when you got saved. Revisit that moment when you felt the Spirit of God calling you and dealing with you and convicting you of your sins. Go back there for a moment and revisit that and just think how you felt when that conviction hit. You know what was going on? What was happening then is God just showed up in your life, unannounced, unexpected, probably caught you off guard. And what he did was he hit you right between the eyes with conviction about your lost condition. What he did is he literally invited you to come on a cruise with him that day. That's what he did. He sent out the invitation. He said, I'm sailing, I'm moving, I'm traveling, and I want you to go with me. I'm inviting you to go with me. Did God have to invite us to be saved? Well, technically, yes, he does, but we're just going to say, does God have to? Is God forced to? No, but to be a keeper of his word, yeah, we know he's going to convict every soul. But God before could have ordained, he didn't have to invite any of us to be saved. When we sinned against God, we could die in our sins. God didn't have to convict us of our lost condition, but he chose to. That's why it's a part of his belief system and his truth and his word. It's God's desire that all should be saved and come into repentance. So we know it is God's desire. So when I was 7 years old, God spoke to my heart and he convicted me of my sins. He didn't really have to do that, but he did it because he loves me and he wants me to be a part of his family. When he convicted you, go back again to that moment, think about it. How did that conviction feel? It didn't feel great, did it? Conviction didn't really feel great because what conviction did is it brought out a bad feeling for me. It brought out the fact that even though I was just 7 years old, it brought out an emptiness and a longing that I had. It brought out the fact that there was something I didn't have in my life that I really needed in my life that I knew the Holy Spirit brought this to light as well. It only came from Christ, the fulfillment of this longing I had. It's like I had this big hole, like a donut hole. I had this hole and this void and this emptiness within me. As a 7-year-old kid, didn't really know how to explain it, didn't really know what it was. But I understood I needed something that only Christ could give me. It was conviction. He was showing me that I was lost because I had sinned against God. The reality being also that if I didn't do something about it, he let me know I was going to die lost and hell was going to be my final destination. That's terrifying to a 7-year-old kid. You know what? It should be terrifying to anybody of any age that if we don't trust and believe in Jesus and we die lost, hell is where we're going. Why do we do Bible school? For that very fact, Scotty. You know, I sit here and I think right now, how many lost people are going to come through the doors over the next 5 nights? Not just kids, parents, whoever. People are maybe members of our church, but not saved. Because they thought they were saved and maybe not saved. How many lost people are going to be coming through the doors of the church this week? That's our job, is to see that they get invited to cruise with Jesus, to see that they know Jesus loves them and he died on a cross for them. Of course, we're not the Spirit of God. We're not the ones that save people. Or we're not the ones that convict people. But we bring them into an atmosphere where they have that opportunity that the Spirit wants to speak. He can hit them right between the eyes just like he did me at 7 years old. And he can invite them to be a part of his family. So the invitation comes first. So we've got our ticket. We've got our ticket to the cruise. We're ready to board the vessel and journey with God. So what are some things then that we need to remember and think about if we're going on this cruise? Verse 3 and 4. You know, anytime you go on a cruise, if any of you have been on one, or you travel a vacation to go anywhere, you kind of have an itinerary. Maybe some of you don't have a clue what you're going to do. Most people will have a little plan. Hey, when we get to this island, we're going to do an excursion. When we get to this island, well, we're not getting off the boat. We're staying on the boat. You know, whatever you're going to do, you're going to eat yourself into a coma. I don't know, whatever, but you have a plan going in. Verse 3 and 4 of Joshua 1, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So there's a plan, a purpose that God has already put in the hearts of those people for Joshua when they get to that land. Here's what I'm telling you the plan is. Here's your itinerary. You walk. You just walk. And everywhere you walk, I'm giving you that land. I'm going to allow you that property to be able to possess that. Raise your kids there. Raise crops there. Raise your families there. Build a place you can worship me and have a relationship with me. I've added John 15:16 to this. It says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's our purpose. He's telling us to go and be fruitful. Go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not that we're the ones that save lives again. It's not that we're able to produce the actual fruit itself, but we're to share that good news with those people we come in contact with. That's our goal. There's a purpose for our life. When we board the cruise ship, God's already got an itinerary and plan for us. He knew he wanted these guys to be singers, man. Amen. How early was it you all knew that was going to happen? How old were you?
Our grandpa would drag us up on stage when we were 5, 6 years old. But once we were about 10, probably.
About 10, it set in with you.
Yeah.
Amen.
It set in with us 8 to 10 years old when we knew that was our ministry that God wanted us.
There you go. Your itinerary was set. Now, it's not that God's not going to do anything else with them. But this is a big part of your life. And I think it's beautiful that God does that with all of us. He shows us what he wants us to do. He shows us the purpose that he has for our lives. I got saved at 7. I was maybe 21, 22, 23 whenever I was asked to serve as a deacon, maybe a little bit older than that. And it was later than that that God called me to preach, but there are different stages of those different callings in life. But God has, know this, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He don't want you to just sit around. You know something, if we're just sitting around taking up space, that's our fault, I believe. Some folks will say, well, preacher, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I don't have a clue what God wants me to do. I know that there's probably something that God wants me to part, but I just can't think of what it is. Does he want me to go in the mission field? Does he want me to go overseas? Does he want me to start a Christian school? Does he want me to, what does God want me to do? And sometimes we get hung up on the big things that we forget that there's a calling in our life every day to do exactly what John said, to just be fruitful, produce fruit. Today, do what God's telling you to do today. Tomorrow, be ready and prepared to do what God's going to lead you to do tomorrow. But know that every life has value and importance to God, and God has purpose for you. So when you get on board, when you become part of the family of God, God's got a plan for you, and he has wonderful things and great things he wants you to experience while you travel with him. Verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. You listen to these words. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God's promises are sure and true. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says it, and it happens. We can believe the promises of God because if he says it, it's going to happen. God said it so many times over and over again, and it exactly what God says is exactly what happens. When he said, listen, you go in here, Peter, get on that boat, cast out, launch out, and cast your nets out to the right side, and you're going to have a great catch. You know what? God says it, it happens. How many times do we read through the Bible and we see all these things that God spoke about? When the captain met Joshua and he talked about the city of Jericho and he talked about you just march around it every day, 6 days, seven times the seventh day. Blow the trumpet, shout, and the walls are going to come down. We're talking about a massive walls. I remember when Tim did a study on that, how massive these walls were. It's not going up and just pushing this railing over. There were homes built on top of the wall. It's so massive. But God said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, when you get in there and when you go around that last trip, when you scream, I am bringing the house down. It's coming down. And that's what God did. God says it, and he's going to do it. God said this to Peter, and he got so many fish, his boat almost sank. He said it to Joshua, and when he marched around it, that's exactly what happened. And they walked over the rubble of the city of Jericho as they entered in. Promises of God. You ever get fearful? You ever worry? You ever get stressed out? You have a little bit of anxiety? Goodness, I think everybody's got a little bit of anxiety, don't you? Just living life is hard. Just being alive today is tough. Even for our children, the things they're having to face are things I never would have dreamed when I was a child. So what do we need today? Here's what we need. We need the promises of God. We need to go back and revisit, reminded of the promises of God. Those will sustain us. Next verse, verse number 8, kind of ties with it just a little bit. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. We're not talking about material things when he talks about prospering and having success. He's talking about spiritual prosperity, spiritual success. So he's saying, if you'll hold on to this word and you'll not let my word depart from you, but if you'll meditate on it, if you'll allow it to become part of your life, if you'll live within my word, then you're going to have spiritual success and you're going to have spiritual prosperity. These things are going to be yours if you trust and believe in me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, great passage of scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. So it kind of goes with the promises of God. We need to believe that when God says that he's going to do it, we also need to hold to the promises he's made that we haven't seen fulfilled yet. We got to believe this. We got to believe that if God has already done things he's promised to do, you know what God is on promises? He's 100 out of 100. You know, you hear these people that say, "Oh, I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet of God, and here's what God's going to do, and here's the plan that God has," and all these things. If they miss out on one thing, then they're not really a prophet of God. You know, God's 100 out of 100. God's got a perfect record. Anything God says he's going to do, he's going to do it, and he does it. So just as we can go back and we can look at those promises, see that when God said it, he did it. We need to believe that when God says something now, he's going to do it. Jesus told the disciples, "You destroy this temple, and in 3 days it'll rise up again." We know he was talking about his body. "Place me in the grave, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again." That's exactly what Christ did. You know something else Jesus said? He said, "I'm going away for a little while, but I'm sending the Comforter to be with you. But," he said, "I'm coming back again to get you." Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe that Jesus is actually coming back to this place? Do you believe one of these days he's going to part the sky and he's coming to gather up his children, his bride, and bring them home to be with him? I believe that with all of my heart. I believe just as much as I know that he parted the Red Sea, that he's going to part the clouds one day, and he's coming back to get us and bring us home to be with him. I believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Amen. We need to believe in the promises of God. We need to believe those things that we don't understand how it's all going to happen. We don't get how God's going to do this or do that. But if he said it, we've got to believe in it. Because here's the thing about it. I'm staking my soul on it, on believing what God said. Because he said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I called on him. And I believe I'm saved by faith. The Holy Spirit moved inside of me. Just as much as I believe he saved my soul, I'm believing he's going to come back and get me one of these days. Hold on to the promises of God. As we cruise with Jesus, hold on to those things that are true. And we wrap up with this, verses 6 and 7. "Be strong." Here's what he says. Several times he says this. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest." And verse number 9, he says it again 3 different times. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The word "strong" here means this. It means to bind, to be constant, and to be sure. That's what he's telling us, to be strong, to be constant, to be sure. The word "courageous" means to be alert and to be steadfast. So he's telling us we need to be constant and steadfast in Jesus Christ, is what he's telling us we need to do. Because we have been invited to the family of God. Those of you here that are saved, you're saved by that blood. You've started the cruise. Now we need to be strong. We need to be constant and steadfast in our walk with God. May have some troubled water we may have to go through while we're here. But if we're holding on to the Master, then everything's going to be all right. It all starts with us receiving that invitation to be a part of the cruise. I ask you to go back and revisit the moment when you got saved, those of you that are saved. There might have been some of you here today that say, "You know what? I don't have a time to go back to. I don't have a moment that I can go back to and revisit where I gave my heart and life to Jesus. I believe right now that I'm probably not saved. I don't have that confidence. I don't have that assurance to know that I'm saved and bought by the blood of Jesus." Well, then you know what? You're in a good place, because we're here to tell you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that Jesus paid a way for you to be redeemed and for you to be saved from your own sin, and that the Holy Spirit is here to bring conviction of that condition. If you're here today and you're unsaved, but you feel the Spirit of God dealing with your heart, today is a beautiful day to get saved and begin your journey with Jesus Christ. Stand with me. We're going to have a moment of invitation. We're going to begin with a prayer. Then the altar is going to be open. If you need to come today, for whatever reason, come and let God speak to your heart. If you're longing for salvation and today you feel it, make your way up here and give your heart to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you, God, for a cleansing of those things that are not right in my life. And I'm praying, God, for all those that are with us today. If there's any that are unsaved today, let your Holy Spirit bring that deep, pungent conviction, God. Let us know that today is the day of salvation. I pray, God, for lost souls to be saved. I pray for lives to be changed. Those of us that have already begun the journey, that have already begun the cruise, I pray, God, that we'll be strong and very courageous, that we'll be constant and steadfast in our walk with you, that, God, we'll quit looking to our own strength, that we'll quit looking to ourselves and to others, but that we'll look to you when the waves are boisterous, that we won't sink as Peter did, but that we'll stand beside of you. Have your way, Jesus, in our lives. These things we pray in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.